had a it's all a blur last night. Little bit of a break here, I guess you could call it. Gone in Las Vegas, Nevada, for about a week. And I've returned. I did not pass away, as I thought I might. But, you know, there were moments where I wished I was dead. There was heat. There were fucking old people arguing about nothing. There was an amazing plane flight, as they always are. Lots to talk about. Not to mention the rock band Kiss. So get ready.
So bright, did we get hit last night? Dressed up like Elvis, why am I wearing your class ring? Don't call your mother.
So I heard this song about 800 times, by the way, over the last week, where Katy Perry tells us about waking up in Vegas. I don't know. You know what's funny about, I was thinking about music videos or stuff that happens in Vegas, and usually what it is it's a bunch of people crowded around a craps table, and they're all cheering and stuff, and then they go out on the street or something, and it's not nearly as fucking crowded. But let me tell you, it is goddamn crowded. Now, I don't know if idiots are all going to Vegas in goddamn June and July, because that seems like the worst idea ever to me. I gotta say, and having just done, it was not below 110 any of the days I was there. And furthermore, not only is it, you know, the high is very high, the low, the last night I was there at midnight, it was 101 degrees. You should not go out into the dark and feel 101 degrees of hot. That's too hot. I mean, that's too hot regardless of the situation, but if you're going out at your body becomes confused and upset. You don't know where you are anymore. You don't know why you are anymore. You don't know anything. So we did this thing. So lately I've been trying to do better about saying, like, hey, what we should do, if I'm going on a trip, let's book a plane ticket for, like, let's say, I don't know, 11, 12, something like that. You know, you get the plane ticket for 8:30 in the morning, and you think, 8:30, that's not so bad. But then you do the math. You're like, I gotta be there 2 hours early. That's 6:30. Takes about an hour and a half to get there. That's 5. 5 is when I have to leave my home. So all of a sudden, you're looking at a real goddamn early. You're getting up, and it's still not even light outside. You arrive, you know, and they're like, oh, what's the weather like in Colorado? And you're like, I don't know. I mean, at 5 in the morning, I think everywhere is about the same at 5 in the morning, right? Except here, in the middle of the heat of the night. But the rhythm of the night. They did add something to the airport that really increased the efficiency, though. I parked, by the way, in the long-term parking. And I've come up with this method to park. You know, I try and park in lot BJ because I can remember blowjob. And this time I parked in 3K because I figured that's like KKK if you think about it. So anyway, if I can associate something horrible with where I'm parked, I'll remember. If I parked in just some random spot, if I parked in, you know, Q, I'd be like, I don't know. If I parked in C, I could say the C word. So there you go. That's a little traveling tip there from a professional. But they did add this nice thing to the security. So you get up to the security. You know how the airport is like a bunch of lines that sort of expand and contract? You'll be in a line, and then it turns into two lines, and then back into one line, and then three, so on. And somehow you just end up next to the same people the whole time anyway. So when they're splitting the line left and right, the guy standing there, the security man, had an iPad, and it had a thing on it called the TSA randomizer. And what would happen is every time he touched the screen, it would either show an arrow that pointed left or right. That was the entire thing. Some motherfucker out there made an app that all it does is when you touch the screen, it points left or right. So they've used technology. They bought an iPad. They developed this app. They branded it with their own shit. All for the purpose of a coin toss. Or here's another technology, by the way, that would help instead of randomly sending people to one line or the other. How about you use your fucking eyes and send people to whichever line is shorter until that line is not shorter, and then you send them to the other line? I mean, there's a lot of non-technologies that serve the purpose of that technology. This is like the biggest fucking waste of time I've ever seen, I have to say. You know, flew Southwest. I think this is the first time I've ever actually flown Southwest. I pretty much hated it. Like, here's the thing. So what happens is you check in online, and that gives you your boarding. So you don't get a seat assigned to you. You get a boarding time, basically. So they start with A1 and go through, like, A60 or whatever. Then they go through B1 through 60. So if I'm B24, I get in line after 23 and before 25. Now, this would seem like a good idea, except here's what happens. Every fucking asshole is looking for an open entire row. They see that there are like 150 people just waiting. And when they get on the plane, they think, maybe I'll be the one guy who gets an open row. Now, let me tell you something. You won't be. The only way you're getting an open row is if you are so crazy looking that people would rather sit 3-2 a row than with an open chair between them and you. That's the only, you will not be self-aware enough to want an open row if you're bad enough to want to get one. You know what I mean? You'll be so fucking out of it and crazy, it won't even occur to you, you won't even know what's going on. And I read this whole article once about, it was like the most efficient way to board the plane, and it was saying what they got to do is they line you up by alternating sides. I think this is how it goes. So like left side, right side, and then it's like they do all the window seats, then all the middle seats, then all the aisle seats, right? Alternating sides. I don't know why they can't do that. Like, here's the thing. The Southwest thing seems good, but here's what I don't like about it. It puts it on me when I get on the plane, because I used my fucking brain and was like, this is shit's going to be full. They were asking people to get off, you know, and fly on a later flight. Every flight I've ever been on, by the way, they do that. Which is, so basically the airline industry is saying, we are just going to fuck people out of their money when they don't show up. That's all that is. They're selling some of the seats twice. That's how much it needs to be. So, you know, I'm getting on the flight, and second row or so, there's like a middle seat open. And I was just like, fuck it. Is anyone sitting there? And they said no. And I said, good, because now I'm sitting there. And on the way back, I did the same thing. There was an aisle seat in the very first row, the first fucking seat. No one was sitting in it yet. Because again, everyone's trying to be like, maybe I can sit 2-2 a row or 1-2. And it's like, that's not going to happen. Let that dream die. But so the problem with Southwest is then you get on, every middle seat is open because no one wants to sit in the middle. So what has to happen is everyone has to get up and someone gets in the fucking middle seat. And what needs to happen, though, is a hybrid, right? What they need to do is say, all right, you get assigned your seat when you check in, and then everyone lines up in order of seat, and that's it. They also need to be assholes. I know I've said this 100 times. Carry-on bag is not the biggest bag they will let you carry on, just because the people who work on the plane don't seem to have the guts to be like, hey, fuck you, you can't carry that on. How is there not enough room for the baggage? I feel like in the bin above your head, there's room for 3 pretty big bags in each of those bins. So how is there never enough room? There's always not enough room. Anyway, Well, Vegas. Now, someone like me, I would think probably would not be expected to enjoy Vegas a lot. I don't like people. I don't like gambling. I don't like playing cards. I don't like games of chance. I don't care for nudity. I don't really enjoy shows. I find magic to be a complete crock in the 21st century. There's not a lot for me there. Now, you know, when I say it out loud, it becomes quite obvious that the Vegas may not be the hotbed of Pete's most funnest activities. I will say this too. Okay, I didn't go. Here's the thing that I'm going to say why I did like Vegas before I get too specific about what. Here's the problem when you go on vacation somewhere. Let's say you go to New York. You go to New York, you've never been there. I mean, you want to see some of that shit, right? Don't you want to see the Statue of Liberty? I mean, you want to see Central Park. You want to go see this stuff. Now, I know everyone's seen that shit. Or, you know, don't you want to go? You want to go up to the Empire State Building. Now, everyone who lives in New York will tell you, like, one of those things is good, and they'll be like, listen, you don't need to go up the Empire State Building. That's for tourists. Okay, that's a touristy thing. I'm a tourist. If I'm not in my hometown, I am, by definition, a tourist. Yes, I'm fine with the fact that those things are for tourists because that's what I am. That would be like saying, oh, you know what? Here's this porn that everyone loves. Everybody. Nobody who watches porn and has seen this porn will put another porn as being more porny above this one. Okay? You follow that good syntax there? Nobody who watches porn would rate this below any other porn. Nobody. But, you know, I, as a porn guy, am saying, okay, well, when you're coming to the land of porn, you shouldn't watch this very best porn. You should watch something that's a little more alternative. You should watch what, you know, like what the people who work at the porn website watch. What do the locals do? Now, I'm all in favor of what do the locals do and finding that. I don't necessarily need to drink at the bar that's the crazy ass. I don't need to go to Coyote Ugly, okay? I don't need to, but I will. Because here's the thing, when you're on fucking vacation, I can drink at the bar the townies drink at when I'm in my town. And I have a feeling that my townie bar and your townie bar are a lot more alike than my townie bar and this, you know, fancy bar. I have a feeling that if instead of going to Central Park, we go to some other park where, you know, the real peeps are. I have a feeling that that park will be a lot like my park at home as opposed to this big special park. So what I'm saying is it's kind of tough when you go somewhere because everyone will tell you to do this off the beaten path stuff. Now, I like off the beaten path. I like to do things that are weird. But I like to do things that are weird that you couldn't necessarily do somewhere else. Okay, where we don't necessarily have this. I like to go to, if I'm out with a friend and they're whatever, I'll say, yeah, let's go to wherever. Let's go where you go. I'm cool with that. But, you know, I won't be super excited if I go to visit you in Vancouver and we eat at Chipotle 3 times. Even if that's where you eat. I understand. I understand when someone comes to Colorado. I'm not a big fan of Estes Park. I think it's, I don't know, it's fine. But there's not a lot for me there. But I understand, if someone came up here and wanted to go to some, you know, mountain place, some touristy place like Estes Park, I'd say, yeah, let's go. You just have fun. Just enjoy. As the person who lives there, that's your opportunity to do that dumb shit is when someone else comes, right? So let's get back to Vegas. The thing that's good about Vegas is that's like, I know that people live in Vegas and they don't live on the strip anywhere. You know, they live God knows where, far away. You can go there as a tourist and just do that tourist stuff and you don't have a lot of like, oh man, you got to get off the strip and do this or that. I mean, you get some of that when you look at stuff. But for the most part, that's why people go there, and it's like acceptable. It's acceptable to stay at some crazy ass hotel that has a miniature Paris inside of it for no reason. You know, it's okay to live in a pyramid for a day. for no apparent reason. I mean, it's okay to have like crazy, you know, Caesar shit all around you. By the way, I was thinking Caesar's Palace, that would be the best place to have like a historians convention. They would lose their fucking minds. I'll be walking around like, this isn't from Caesar's era. This isn't even, you know, Roman or Greek or anything. This is like from goddamn Egypt or ancient Mesopotamia. There's nothing. There's a Viking over here. There are no Vikings in Caesar's town. Yet here we are. So that's what I like about it. And the other thing is, sometimes when you go on vacation somewhere, if you go somewhere, you know, most cities, I would say, you go to Chicago, you go to New York, you go to Philadelphia or whatever, most of the people you see are not also tourists, right? I get this a lot from people when in regards to New York, that people, there's kind of like this friction between people who live there and people who vacation there. You know, and people get pissed because the people who vacation there are taking up the resources of the locals, right? Like the subways are all packed and the public transpo is all packed and idiots don't know where they're going on the street and just stop walking. Which, that's a whole thing I agree with. There was one thing I have to say. You know, I had a horrible raising by dad. But one of the things he would always freak out about is if, like, if you're walking along, let's say you're walking along in the casino and you just stop and then start looking at directions or stop and make a phone call. He was always, he fucking hated that. And he would be like, move off to the side so people can get around you. Or if you were walking, you know, I was like walking through this indoor mall there and there are these people talking and this guy, they were just stopped on the stairs. On the stairs, in the middle of the stairs, and this guy was leaned across blocking the entire steps while they were like deciding where to go eat lunch or something. And it's like, how about you get off the middle of the fucking stairs where people are trying to walk so that people can go around and you can make your dumb decision by yourself? Or, you know, here's a little piece of advice. I know there's a lot to look at in Vegas or other places, but try in general, if you're going a direction, to have your head pointed that direction. It goes a long way if you can actually aim your head towards where you're going. I know that might sound idiotic to some people, like an idiotic, simplistic thing to say, but I'm telling you, some people need to hear it. It's crazy. They'll walk right into you because they're like looking off to the left at the same fucking poker machine they've seen in 100 other casinos. Anyway, just make an effort. That's all I'm saying. Try. Try to not be in the fucking way all the time. So here's what I like in Vegas, right? When you're a tourist there, I mean, when you're on the strip and you're in the hotels and stuff, you get the impression that 90% of the people there are also on vacation, which means that everyone there is also kind of having fun. It's not like when you go to one of these other cities and you're kind of out having fun and other people are like, yeah, I got to go to work tomorrow. And I'm not really interested in your fun. I'm not a part of your fun. I feel a little bit pissed off, actually, because you're here having fun. I'm here because this is my life. I have to go to work tomorrow. I'm pissed. And there, the only people who have to work are the people who are at their work. You know, I don't feel like you're running into people around. And so everyone there is kind of at the same goal of like, let's just have fun. And things are expensive and it's cool. We're good. Everyone seems to drink a little, which is good. Those beers in Vegas, I'll tell you what, they make them long. Everything in Vegas, too, is beers are, you know, a yard long, or they're in some kind of tube, or like a, And here's the problem with that. I don't know how many drinks is a Eiffel Tower hollowed out full of booze. How many drinks is that? I have no idea. I don't know. How many drinks is this long tube? When you say, I'll get like a, I don't know, a rum and coke and fill this tube up with it, how many rum and cokes did you just have? I have no idea. I don't know how you, I don't have a very good sense of volume and science and space and all that, but I can tell you that I don't know if that helps in any way. I just, it's so funny because it's like they're on purpose trying to get you. I feel like the other thing I like about Vegas is it's sort of like a town that seems to be trying to cheat you all the time, right? To try and get your money away from you. But I feel like they're not putting on a lot of airs about it. I feel like they're not pretending like they're giving you something of high value in exchange for your money. I feel like they're just saying like, hey, this is a bunch of booze and you can walk around with it. So it's expensive and that's what it is. Hey, if you want to be inside where it's not 110 goddamn degrees, you can come in this casino and spend money. All this shit. Hey, we have this show and people are topless. We had this cab driver one night who was just saying that he was basically done with boobs. He was like, I don't know, every show is topless. Every show, they take their top off. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't need this. They don't need to do that. Every cab driver. Here's a thing coming from a small city. I think that coming from a small city, you see these movies and stuff, and you sort of think that cab drivers have some kind of like wisdom about the world. You know, that they know something that we don't know. That they have a sense of the world. They're a wizened older person who's seen it all and done it all. But after you ride with a few cabbies, I think at first you start thinking like, hey, this guy's not, doesn't seem all that smart, or this lady's not that smart. And then you start thinking like, how smart are you if you're driving a taxi? Which that sounds like a horrible thing to say. I'm sure there's many a taxi driver who's very smart and chosen that job. I mean, but there's got to be a lot, too, who are perhaps smart but have made horrible life choices. Maybe should I be taking advice from this person who's done all this shit? I don't know. I just don't know. But, so I don't know. That's what I liked about it, though, is like it's a good place to go as a tourist. It's a good place to go if you're on vacation by yourself. Because you can sit there at a restaurant by yourself. No one thinks it's weird when you walk into a restaurant. When they say, for one, they don't say it like it. They do some other places where they're like, really, for one? They're more just like, oh, for one, because tons of people do that. People come for conventions and shit. That's where you go. I went to a Gordon Ramsay restaurant, finally. Simple, delicious. It was pretty good. I ate enough food that I almost threw up, and I'm not exaggerating when I say, I am not one to say like, oh, I almost puked because I ate so. I was finishing some food and took a bite and then, you know, took a drink of water in between and was thinking like, about to take another bite and thinking as it entered my mouth, like started, you know, gagging and thinking, okay, we need to stop. I finally understood that whole thing where in old times, you know, they would have these feasts and vomit and then keep eating. I kind of was like, I do want to keep eating. I physically cannot. And you know what I gotta say I liked about this restaurant? I mean, of course I liked it. Of course I was going to. But fucking A. Here's what I liked about a fancy restaurant. It's not just like fancy food. And the food, honestly, it was fancy. It was good, but it was not like I recognized the things on the menu. I knew what they were. I might not know the specifics of this or that cut of beef is different in this or that way, but I generally could look at the menu items and understand what I was seeing, which I liked. And seems like a good idea to me, because sometimes you go to these fancy places, right? Like, I hate this when you go to an Italian place, and they have all the menu items in this crazy Italian shit. I can't read that out loud. I can't say that. So when they come, I have to, like, point to it and just try. And then they always say it, you know, I'm like, I'll have this chicken cacciatore. And they're like, ah, chicken cacciatore. And I say, I should have known that first word. Should have known. By the way, thanks for doing chicken and then an Italian word. I'm sure Italians call it chicken, right? They don't have their own word. So are you just fucking with me? Is that all that's happening right now? Because it kind of seems like it. So this place wasn't like that. You know, you knew what you were looking at. They have like normal drinks and stuff like that. But it was fancy, man. And everything was good. They brought out to the table, so they bring out, you know, bread and butter like they do anywhere. And it's like some different kinds of bread and this butter. This butter tasted like no other butter I've ever had. It was so good. You could just eat a stick of that butter. I was, you know, obviously planning to not eat this bread and butter, because it's like they always say, like, don't fill up on bread and butter. I want to eat this delicious food. It was so good that I ate almost the entire plate of it. This is a two-person plate, and I just went to town because it was that good. I just was blown away. I ate beef Wellington. I ate a whole goddamn, you know, you order these side dishes, and they were expensive, so I thought, like, oh, they must just be whatever. It was like I ordered asparagus, and it was an entire asparagus bunch. I mean, there were like 20 rods of asparagus on that plate, and I ate them all. I got macaroni and cheese because I wanted to see, you know, I wanted to see what happens at a fancy restaurant with macaroni and cheese. Here's the other thing, though. Okay, so you go there and you go in, and the waitress is like, so the tunnel we went through is supposed to represent the tunnel because it's in the Paris casino. And now, you know, we're entering England and all this stuff. And the neon lights, there's like a thing of neon lights up above, and it's like that's meant to represent Gordon Ramsay's hand motions while he makes beef Wellington. And you know, you're a little like, okay, it's a little of that thing of like, have you ever been to this restaurant before? Well, let me explain. Except I felt like at this restaurant, and they did other stuff throughout, they bring out the thing of the different cuts of meat and they do all kinds of shit. You have like two waiters who work. There's like the main waiter, and then there's like his backup waiter who are at your table. So like the whole, it's like an experience. You go there and it's not just like they've put this food in front of you and they're counting on the food to be so good that you just don't feel ripped off. You know, it takes like 2 hours to eat there, and they have all this great stuff, and there's like stuff to look at, and there's people to look at, and it's, I don't know, it's good. It was worth it. I'm telling you right now that this fine dining experience, I got it. It made sense to me. It was aligned to my preferences, certainly, so it probably wouldn't work for everybody. But like, if this is what fine dining is supposed to be like, which I don't know if it is, because it's quote-unquote fine dining where you're in a goddamn casino. But if this is what it is, I sort of get it. Because it's more like going to a show almost than just a dinner. Speaking of going to shows, I went to a show. I went to Evil Dead the Musical. For those of you who don't know, Evil Dead is the couple movies that come before my favorite film. The only film I still own on VHS, Army of Darkness. I'm pretty sure that I don't like musicals or plays. I've decided. It's become very apparent to me, and I figured out why as I was sitting in this musical. Because there's not really a musical that could be more aligned to my interests. I mean, they sang songs, but, you know, they have, like, zombies and ghouls, and there's blood spraying all over the crowd and cheesy shit. It's kind of what I would like. But the problem I have is that when I watch a musical, or, okay, if I watch a movie, Transformers was on in the movie in one of the hotels I stayed in, right? And I was just kind of watching it, like chilling out, waiting for other people to get ready. I'm watching Transformers, and it's not like great cinema or anything. It's not like an awesome movie. I don't really have a desire to watch it at this point. I didn't really know what was going on, but I'm not sitting there the whole time watching it thinking, that's Shia LaBeouf. This seems very facade-y to me. This is all, I'm not aware that I'm watching a movie. I can just sort of turn that part of my brain off and let the story happen. Or if I'm reading a really good book, it doesn't feel like an effort to push through. I don't have to like remind myself that these characters need to be real in order for me to buy the story. But whenever I'm in a play or a musical or something like that, I'm always thinking, these characters, like I know, all I can think of when I'm watching some of these characters is like, this guy I bet was so fucking annoying in high school. I would want to kill this guy, but he was walking around singing fucking show tunes all the time, pissing everyone off. Or I think, I wonder, you know, there's this girl and she's like taking some of her clothes off. And I start thinking, I wonder what it's like if you're dating someone and they're like, I'm going to be in this musical and I have to get, you know, almost partially naked, sort of. Are you like, all right, that's cool. Or, ugh, this is a not my preference, but okay. Anyway, I just, the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm very aware that I'm watching a play or a musical. That's all I'm thinking about. I'm not thinking about the story or like what's going to happen next. I'm thinking about, oh, well, that's how that prop works. You know, they have a chainsaw in this play, and all I'm thinking about is like, oh, so they just play the chainsaw noises over the PA, or, oh, this is how they sync up the sounds for this or that, or whatever. It's all just the technical. I don't know. Maybe it's because it's too obvious how it all works. I don't know. It's just not for me. It is not for me. There was a great couple fight happening next to me. You know, where this guy like stormed off before it started and then came back but didn't sit next to his girlfriend. This is like a 30-year-old man, by the way. So he was sitting next to me instead of his girlfriend. Vegas, I have to say, I don't know how that works as a couple. I feel like you could go there as a couple if you've been dating for like a month or 20 years. Because at the month, you're just sort of feeling it out and it's not life or death. But, and then, it, you know, 20 years, you're just like, I don't give a shit. Look, if he was going to try and bang some lady, that would have happened by now, right? I don't know. But like a year or you're engaged and you've been dating 6 months, it doesn't seem like it works just based on what I saw walking around. That seemed to be a lot of what be a drunk guy and his drunk girlfriend and they're fighting over how to get across the street or something. They're both arguing about like, no, babe, you got to go through the casino there and get up. Babe, I'm telling you, there's the escalator right there. We can just go right across. And then just fighting. I sat next to an old couple on the plane on the way back that was having some pretty good, they seemed like they were having a couple fight that maybe like they'd flown to Vegas when they'd known each other for 6 months and they were both 22 and they were just now coming home. I mean, this old man was like yelling at his wife the whole time. She gets up to use the bathroom and she takes her purse with her. He like grabs her purse and holds it and he's like, why are you taking your purse with you to the bathroom? And she has to explain to him, and I couldn't hear what she said. But it's just like, I can't imagine being somewhere and being like, whoa, 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 what do you think you're doing taking your purse? It was almost like he was saying like, hey, dummy, you don't need your purse. You're in the bathroom. I'm like, I don't know. She's probably got some kind of old lady wipes or some makeup or who the fuck knows? Why would you care? What do you think she's going to do? Flush drugs down the toilet that you wanted to take when you get on the ground? Who cares? And then we're getting ready to land. And this old lady, she'd been looking at, you know, some shitty magazine or something the whole time. And so we're landing and we're taxiing at the airport. And she's just sitting there with this magazine closed on her lap. And her husband's looking out the window, and he doesn't even look over at her, and he's just like, God, will you quit reading that book? There's lots of good stuff to look at out here. And she's like, I'm not reading a book. And she wasn't. But I was just like, Jesus Christ. How fucking... These lives must be so miserable. This old man, too, is sitting on the window seat, right? And I'm on the aisle. I'm literally the first chair closest to the exit. And who do you think gets out of the seat first and is standing in the aisle? This old man. He goes past his wife, past me, and starts opening the overhead bin, which I don't even need to get into. And then he acts like he's doing me a big favor when he's like, "Go." Well, he's telling me, go ahead, in front of him. So I, you know, kind of stand in front of him. And they're like opening the door to get to the jetway or whatever. And he's like telling me, like, go, go. I'm like, the fucking door is not even open, you old piece of shit. There's nowhere to go. Calm down. God, he was the worst. I wish the worst for him. I wish the absolute worst for him. So I was in town for a work conference. I don't want to say too much about it, but I will say this. There's quite a difference in the audience for a, let's just say, library conference at the convention center and the people who walk around on the Las Vegas Strip. It is a very noticeable contrast. I couldn't think of a more contrasty. I went to one in Philadelphia, and you couldn't tell as much the difference, right? Because you're just downtown. There's a, you know, courthouse, all that bullshit. This was quite different. The people in all their... You know, we checked into our hotel. There's this lady waiting to check in. She's got a rolling suitcase. She's wearing some kind of flowy scarf garment. And she's got one of those poster tubes with something rolled up in it. And you're just like, okay, conference attendee, I suppose. Couldn't be much different. Could not be much different. I did ride the monorail quite a bit. And I have this question to ask about monorails. Is there anywhere that has a monorail that, like, really goes very far? I mean, this monorail, I walked the entire length that it goes, and it, you know, it took an hour, and it sure as hell beats walking in 112 or whatever. But it could go a lot more places and go a lot further. I mean, it could be better. Anyway, I know Seattle has a monorail that goes, like, three places. Disney World has a monorail. Which goes, I guess, to Disney World? I don't know. Does anywhere have, like, a legit monorail? That's what I want to know. Is there, like, a legitimate one somewhere where that's, like, a real way to get around town? Is that possible for someone to maybe build that? Went to some buffets. I ate some edible gold by accident. I mean, I knew there was this little flake of edible gold on this chocolate mousse thing. So I was like, well, fuck it. I'm going to eat that. And I put my spoon in it, and I was trying to eat around the edible gold and then looked down, and I had accidentally eaten it already. So I blew it with the edible gold, you guys. I'm sorry. I don't know if I've crapped it out. Or I don't know how edible gold works. It's a funny idea, edible gold. I mean, it's very decadent and hilarious, but also to me, it's like, calling it edible gold, I mean, is anything. You could just have quote-unquote edible plastic if it's just a little piece of plastic. And just crap it out. Who cares? A dime is technically an edible dime. You'll just shit it out later. So it's not like, I don't assume it's some kind of special gold, right? Where it's like, oh, this kind of gold. Ugh. I had to buy more underpants because I sweated through all my underpants. That's all I have to say about that. So the last night we had a good time though. Oh, I ate it. So I also ate at another chef. I had about 800 hamburgers. This is what I like to do on vacation, is try all the different burger places and decide which one I like the best. So I ate at, who is that fucking, why can't I remember his name? Guy Fieri had a restaurant. This is the first place I went to eat, and I went with some other folks. Now, they do this thing at the restaurants there that at first I couldn't understand, and I sort of get now, or I have a theory anyway, Everyone who works there is just crazy. Like, even at the Gordon Ramsay place, they were wearing a blue button-down shirt, the kind that had the white collar and cuffs, a red tie, and red suspenders. And it was kind of a weird look, and then I was like, well, I guess the good thing about this look is the chances of someone walking in, because people walk in dressed all kinds of different crazy ways, but the chances of anyone walking in dressed like that are almost nil, so it's easy to identify who's working here. At Guy Fieri's restaurant, everyone was dressed in what I like to think of as a porno shop teacher. The hostess was dressed in the tightest denim and leather dress I've ever seen. It was like all denim, except in the center there was like a leather triangle or something. And it looked, I'm not even sure if it was actual denim or if it was like pajama jeans material, because it was very tight. It looked horribly uncomfortable. And then all the waiters and waitresses wore like button-up shirts and then like Dickies work pants, like carpenter jeans and Timberland boots. And then they wore these crazy leather big aprons, like a fucking blacksmith or a welder or something like that. So you have these porno shop teachers and everything there is ridiculous, you know. But the burger was actually pretty good. As much as I hate to admit it, may have been the best one I had in town. I had Fat Burger. That was disappointing. I had one at some other, you know, fancy bar place that was good, but not as good. And on the last day, we went to In-N-Out. I'll get back to that in a second. So the last night, we were looking for something to do, not really feeling too crazy, because at this point, it had been like 5 nights of Vegas. So we decided to go to Kiss Mini Golf. Basically, what this is someone went fucking insane with black light paint in this room, painted Kiss, painted like Vegas people in Kiss attire. And, you know, they have like a giant platform shoe and a huge guitar and all this crap. So you get there, and, you know, they have also, the lady was like, this is the largest collection of Kiss memorabilia. And wherever, anywhere, I guess. And so then she's saying, you go up there and you can get these different package deals. Just golf, golf and beer, or golf and pizza. By the way, I saw in the reviews, because we were like, well, can you drink at Kiss Golf? Because that's going to be a deal breaker. So I looked and one of the Yelp reviews said, I don't like this place because they let people drink beer. To which I was just like, where the fuck do you think you are? I mean, give me a goddamn break already. Yes, you can drink beer at... What a shame that you can drink beer at mini golf. I mean, shouldn't you be allowed to drink beer at all mini golf? That seems like a good place to drink beer. You can drink beer at regular golf. Why not mini golf? Furthermore, fuck off. I don't like that. Oh, I don't like that you can drink beer here. Well, die. I have a suggestion to help you feel better. Die. So we get the beer package, of course, and then there behind us were some youngsters with their parents, and they were like, oh, look, you can get pizza for the lady who worked there. There were two ladies working there, and they did not want to be there. You could tell they were just like, I mean, they weren't mean to us. They're actually really nice to us, but that they were just like, I do not like that I work at Kiss Mini Golf. This is not a goal for me. You know, so these kids and their parents come up and they're like, oh, you can get pizza. And the lady just goes like, you do not want the pizza. And they're like, oh, well, you can get the deal or whatever. And she's like, no, trust me, you don't want to get the pizza. I appreciated her candor. And then, so then you go to the second place and you get your golf club and your golf balls, you know, and you see some of the Kiss memorabilia. And there's a Kiss wedding chapel, which wouldn't be so bad. Except that you're like, well, not only is it a Kiss-themed wedding chapel, but it's not, like, as cool as the golf course, and it's a Kiss wedding chapel inside a Kiss mini-golf. So it's not even, like, a Kiss wedding chapel that's just its own crazy-ass place. It's inside of a mini-golf. You're getting married. You shouldn't get married 5 feet from an air hockey table. Unless you decide to have an air hockey table at your wedding, in which case... Put that on the invites because I will dread the event far less knowing that I'll have something to do. Nothing else. Everyone should do that. You should get like an air hockey table or foosball. Because here's what that does. For me, Pete, the guy who goes and knows no one, I can just sort of stand around the air hockey table. I don't even have to play air hockey. It gives me somewhere to stand around and watch something happen and not just look like a weirdo and not have to stand up against the perimeter wall for 4 hours. You know, praying that my drinks have worn off or will wear off sooner so I can go home. Doing things like, say, I'm going to flex the muscles in my legs in hopes that that, you know, starts up my metabolism and allows me to sober up more quickly. There you go. That, how good of a time am I having? Well, I stood there doing experiments on myself to sober up to see if I could leave. That's how fun it was for me. How was your evening? So we go up to get our golf balls and our golf clubs and shit, and the lady there said the best thing of the night, where she's like, okay, well, here we are. We've got a full DJ booth and everything. You can request any song you want as long as it's Kiss. Which I loved. That was good. That was a classic line. So, you know, we played some Kiss golf. It was good, man. Plenty of photo opportunities and whatnot. I recommend Kiss mini golf. It's a good activity as far as, you know, you go in there, it's not hot. There was like nobody there on a weekday at 11 p.m. And you can just hang out. And that night was good. It ended, we were in this bar and we realized we were... So they had these bizarre music videos going. And by bizarre, I mean like things I'd never heard of and also just strange for nightclub or Vegas or bar even, because it was like at one point they were playing like Genesis or Phil Collins, and this guy comes in, these two guys come in, and the one guy is yelling at his friend because he's like, I'm telling you, that's motherfucking Phil Collins. And the guy must have said no, and he's like, that's Phil Collins, that is Phil Collins. And he was very insistent, and then finally, and you know, I was like signaling across the bar because I was like, you're right, that is definitely Phil Collins. And he's like, thank you, saying to his friend, like, see? And so then finally, at the end of the video, it shows, you know, like in MTV style, it shows in the corner the artist and all that. And it says Phil Collins. He's like, I told you, don't you fucking tell me I don't know no motherfucking Phil Collins. So we're at this bar, and they're showing these weird videos. And then finally, they show a video, but it's not a music video. It's like the karaoke video for a song. So it's the words and then, you know, the yellow line. The letters fill in yellow as it goes across. We're all singing this song in this bar. None of us have ever heard of this song or heard the song, and you can't really even hear the music. So we're just like making up how it goes, trying to karaoke. This is how desperately we were ready to karaoke, I guess. We were karaokeing a fucking song that none of us knew and none of us could hear. All of us singing basically a different song, and that's when the night ended. The last part, we went to we got to In-N-Out Burger. I made two attempts that failed to get to In-N-Out Burger. One, I walked outside of this casino, and there was no sidewalk. And I said, motherfucker, how do you even get over there? And then it was too hot, so I had to turn around and go back. Another day, there was like one of these walkway bridges, and I was like, I can see the goddamn In-N-Out sign. It's just across the freeway. How do you get over there? Is it possible to get over there on foot? And I couldn't figure it out. On the way back to the airport, we took a cab to In-N-Out, and it waited for us when we went in and got food, and then we came back out. And, I felt like a rock star. Never done that. Be like, wait for me while I go get fast food. And then also, I had literally, you know, I got a text from my friends. It was like, you still want to go to In-N-Out? We could go on the way to the airport. Literally just finished a giant hamburger. I was like, I don't know, guys. I've eaten like 100 hamburgers. But, I said, hey, you know what? We can go. Let's go. If you guys are going, I'm down. I'm not going to say no. we go, and I get a hamburger, and I'm just thinking, like, I don't know if I can eat this. I only ate half of it at the goddamn airport before going through security, because I was just thinking, like, I'm going to puke. But I made it. I did not puke hamburgers. I did not puke booze. I did a, you know, very average amount of cocaine and hookering. I did pretty good overall. I did want to suggest one thing to Vegas, and that's that it would be really great. So they have these guys and gals who hand out these little cards that I guess have hookers or numbers for escorts or whatever on them, and they're just all over. You know, you've seen them. I was thinking it'd be nice if someone just started handing out, like, wallet-sized photos of, you know, a grandma or cats or something, or a nice panda. It's like, hey, just thought you might want to see a panda. No need to call. Just, here's a nice panda for you. What the hell? Not for fucking. Just for a break from the monotony. Maybe you're like my cab driver and you're a little tired of boobs. I mean, I have to say, the first day I was there, I was like, my God, everyone is dressed crazy. There's boobs and butts and, you know, there's topless men everywhere, too. It's like craziness. I mean, we saw this woman wearing white pants that were just see-through. You could see her entire thong. And, but then after a few days, you don't even notice anymore. You're just like, oh, I guess that's a butt. Sure. Whatever. So maybe it would help, you know, reset the standard if you saw, like, a nice, a sloth doing something cute. A sloth, like, hugging a rhino or something. I don't know. I don't know what's cute anymore. That's my big suggestion for Vegas, I guess. How they could improve their look or the feel of their place overall. Well, thanks for listening again, guys. I don't know if these trip recaps are at all exciting or not, but we got plenty more coming. Don't forget to look at helpfulsnowman.com for the details about Helpful Snow Bowl, which I hope you'll all participate in. And we'll see you real soon.